The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' He says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. The readings today are about prayer, which is right near the heart of the Christian life. In light of the gospel and the first reading, I would like to discuss 4 general rules regarding prayer, which I got from the scriptures. As the Bible discusses prayer, it does so in terms of certain laws or requirements, things that just seem to have to be in place for prayer to be efficacious and effective. So rule number 1, you have to pray with faith. It is reiterated up and down the Bible, both Old Testament and New. Have you noticed how often in the New Testament, before Jesus heals someone, he'll say to that person, "Do you believe that I can do this for you?" And remember also that account where Jesus visited his hometown, where people there didn't believe in him. It says he could work very few miracles there because of their lack of faith. Or remember that great line from the Lord, "If you had just a little faith, you could say to that mountain, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, why is this? Why couldn't God do something independent of our faith? Well, perhaps our faith is like opening a window. God wants to live and act in us. But faith is like the opening of this conduit to God, as though the divine power is not going to flow unless and until God finds a place in us where he can plug in. If we shut that down, if we don't have faith, then it's as though the divine power can't get into us. A perfect example of this is the healing ministry. All of us know that there are charlatans who take advantage of gullible people and make great claims that can be proved to be false. But there are also people among us who really do seem to have the gift of healing. And I've met several over my priesthood. It's as though certain people have a gift to open wide this window to their hearts in the attitude of faith, and it allows God's power to flow into them and through them into others. Faith is a conduit of the divine power. And notice that Jesus' great prayer opens with "Our Father." In Aramaic, he used the word "Abba," which is like saying "Daddy." Daddy in heaven. So we should pray as a child approaching his daddy and believe that God can do what we need. The second rule is forgiveness. It seems odd, but it's all over the Bible once again. For example, the Lord says, "When you stand praying, if you have a grievance against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven might forgive you." The implication here is that your prayer will not be efficacious as long as you are holding grudges. I can't fully explain this, but it's like a law of physics. Somehow, if there is a lack of forgiveness in us, it blocks the movement of God in us. Perhaps it's because God is love. So what's opposed to love in us blocks the flow of God's power and life. So we have to clear it up. It's like a vein or artery that's been clogged. It needs to be cleaned out or the blood won't flow. Reconcile, then pray. You know, I'm speaking as much to myself as to anyone else. Many of us have, even now, grudges that we nurse. Perhaps that we have been fighting and struggling with and we won't forgive. Perhaps that's why our prayer is not efficacious. Forgive, then pray. In this vein, I found useful a piece of advice from an older brother priest who's unfortunately no longer with us. He said that for most of us, when we are not forgiving, it's because we feel slighted. We feel that an injustice has been done to us and we resent it. He told me that a good cure for this is to sit or kneel before the crucifix. And what do you see there? The greatest injustice ever committed. And what does Jesus do? He forgives those who had anything to do with nailing him to that cross. Rule number three, persistence. Again, this is all over the Bible, including in today's gospel. And the first reading, of course. Abraham keeps pushing it, being persistent, asking God, even though he is of no account compared to God. Or look at the gospel, the part about a neighbor asking for a loaf of bread at night. Okay, you've prayed. It doesn't seem to help. Pray more. It still doesn't change. Pray again. Pray, pray, pray. Ask. Keep asking. You know that St. Monica prayed more than a decade for the conversion of her son Augustine. After he was converted, her son wrote about why sometimes it seems to take God a long time to answer prayer. Sometimes God makes us wait, he says, because he wants our hearts to expand so as to receive the good that God wants to give us. Suppose God places in my heart a good desire, and so I pray for it. Well, what if it gets answered right away? Thanks, Lord. Now on to the next thing. But I don't really appreciate what I've been given. But now I wait for a week, a month, a year, 5 years. All the time my heart is longing for this good. And finally when it comes, I'm ready. Ask persistently. Rule number four, pray in Jesus' name. Now, why should we pray that way? Because Jesus told us to. He says, "Anything you ask in my name, I will do." Strong words. Notice how in most of our liturgical prayer, we do this. Whenever we conclude a prayer, we say, "Through Christ our Lord," or "Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord," or "In Jesus' name, amen." He is a heavenly intercessor, and we are relying on that help. But also when we pray in Jesus' name, we are aligning that prayer properly. So here's something that just doesn't work. "Lord, Please give me a life with no troubles at all. In Jesus' name I pray. It doesn't make sense. Or, Lord, please smite the idiot who just cut me off on Highway 24 through Jesus Christ our Lord. No, that's not in Jesus' name, and you know it. Jesus was the one who told us that if we want to follow Him, we must take up our cross daily. Jesus is the one who said, pray for those who mistreat you. So these prayers are out of line with Jesus and what we know about Him. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray for the right things, because we are praying, therefore, in the right spirit, and therefore praying for the kinds of things that God wants us to pray for. So, four rules today. Pray in faith. Forgive someone you are quarreling with. Be persistent. And finally, do it in Jesus' name.